I want you to open your Bibles today to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to talk about three things that are great today. Three things that are great today. Okay? Three things that are great today. And so, as we look at this message, what we need to remember is that when we talk about things that are great, it could be that things are large or sizable. So, when we talk about things that are great, they're worth mentioning. And so these three things that we're going to talk about have to do with the end times and the end days. So we're going to talk about deception, we're going to talk about departure, and we're going to also talk about difficulty. Deception, departure, or you could define departure as defection, and then finally we're going to talk about difficulty. And I think all of us can relate to many of these things, maybe one or more of them from time to time. So first of all, the great deception, let's talk about that. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 says this, "For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires, and they will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths." And so, Father, today we thank you that you give us the information ahead of time. You give us revelation to help us navigate through this life the best way possible. And so when we trust you, we trust your word, we trust you, Jesus, that you'll help us make it to the other side in the best way possible, the most efficient way possible. And so as we look at this today, I pray that we would each one of us look inside our own hearts and see if there's anything that we need to adjust or change, and that we would be open to not just hearing your voice, but then responding and doing what you tell us. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. So it says there's a time when this is going to happen. And a time is a particular season, but it's a time of the very end. And how many of you know that we're at the end of the end? Did you know that? These are the last of the last days. How do you know that this is the last of the last days? Because 2,000 years ago when they wrote this, it was the last days. So think about how much closer we are to the end than we were 2,000 years ago. And it makes a lot of sense that even more so that these times that we're living in, these are urgent days. These are times where we really have to be on high alert. We have to be ready for what is going to come our way and what we see in the world today. It says that they won't believe in sound doctrine. And what that means is the long-held teaching and tenets of the Christian faith. It's like age-old truth that has been tried and true, that's been established. You know, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the things of the Word that are just solid, foundational discipleship teachings and tools that we have. And what will happen in the last days is people will depart from those things, those age-old truths and those age-old solid foundational teachings. What they'll say is that that's not enough for them, that they need something more or something deeper. That's what they'll say. And here's what I want to tell you about that, okay? First of all is this. The gospel is inclusive. The gospel is simple enough for every one of us to understand it. And if there is ever somebody that says that they have a private revelation or some sort of new fangled teaching that only they can interpret and only that they can understand, and that if you're wise enough and spiritual enough, then you'll be able to understand these things too, you need to run from those people as quick as you can. Because the Word of God is a very simple concept that all of us can understand and not just benefit from it, but we can enjoy the results of it as well. And so the Bible says that they'll have itching ears. Itching ears are the type of people that they want to hear things, but they're never satisfied with what they hear. And it's almost like they're always looking for something more, or they're always looking for something to scratch an itch that they have, that basic fundamental teachings of the Word of God and the age-old doctrine of the truth doesn't really satisfy them. They're always looking and striving for something else. I want to caution you, because over the last few months, we've had people roll through Salina and have teachings and be in hotels and different. Let me tell you something. As far as I know, those people are not submitted to anybody. Okay? And what I want to tell you is this, that I want to know who labors among me. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, know those who labor among you. If there are people that are rolling through town and they're not submitted to anybody and they're not accountable to anybody, then you don't know what can happen. You don't know what type of message, quasi-message that they're peddling. You want to build your life on the sure, trusted foundation of Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you something, and this I'm going to challenge you with this. If you're always looking for something else, you might want to really search your heart and discover that is the Word of God and the gospel, is it not enough for you? And if it's not, why is that? Ask yourself why. Ask yourself, why am I always wanting to seek after other things? There's nothing wrong with learning. There's nothing wrong with studying. But listen, there is no private revelation outside of the Word of God. I want to tell you that, and I want to caution you of that, because as these, and listen, I've been in this long enough, I've seen them come and go. I've seen dozens of them come and go. And you always want to judge on character and on competency. You always want to do that. People say, well, you're not supposed to judge. I beg your pardon, you are supposed to judge. You better judge who labors among you, that they are people of character and godly wisdom. And the one thing about discernment is this: you can trick a few people, but you're not going to trick all of us. So if there are people that say one thing and they don't do another, don't follow them. Don't listen to what they have to say, because they're not submitted or accountable to anybody. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says this, that if you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. So we have to be more doubly aware of our heart and where we're at spiritually as these days grow closer and closer to the end. Like, we have to, you guys, if you will, we have to keep our heads on a swivel. You have to keep your heart right. You have to make sure that you're where you need to be, so that you're not deceived into following something that is not of the Word and of truth and of Jesus Christ. Many times these messages are charming, they're entertaining, they're pleasing, they tickle the ears, but the Bible says that they're full of myths, fanciful fables, and fantasies. And so we want to be very extra careful that we don't succumb to those type of things. All right? Amen? Okay, so two things have to happen before this, what we call great deception. There's two things that happen. Number one is this: either the taking up of the church in what we call traditionally the rapture, or it's the carrying away of the church. The Bible doesn't actually use the name rapture, but it's a concept that we take from the taking up of the church to be with the Lord forever in the air. And that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and then also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So that's called traditionally the rapture. And that's where the Lord will come after his church and take them up to be with him forever. The other thing, and depending on what you believe and when that will happen, is that the Antichrist will be revealed. Okay, some people believe that the rapture will happen before the Antichrist is revealed, or in the middle of his leadership or rulership, or it'll be toward the end. But nonetheless, that's the second thing that has to happen before the end will come, and that is the appearing of the Antichrist. And we'll talk more about that in just a little bit. In order for that to happen, this great deception, this great falling away, if you will, or people that go after these fables and these tales, a lot of people believe that in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, it says that the gospel of the kingdom has to be preached in all the world, and then the end will come. So right along with what we're talking about, the rapture of the church or the revealing of the Antichrist, there has to be a great message of hope to the world that will bring a great influx of people into the kingdom of God. And so the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world, and then the end will come. Can you imagine that the last person that gets saved, that will commence the end of days where Jesus will return, the last person who gets saved? And you never know, you may be the one to lead the last person who needs to get saved to come to faith in Jesus Christ. You might be the catalyst for that to happen, of leading someone to the Lord so that the Lord can return for his church. So the gospel of the kingdom is preached to all the world, and then the end will come. Now, that word world, if you will, it's kingdoms, tribes, and nations. Right now, and I'm going to be off on this, but you can look at things like the Joshua Project and different what we would call unreached people groups. There are thousands of unreached people groups right now that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ or who are barely evangelized. So that has to take place before the end will come, where the gospel of the kingdom is preached to all the world, and then the end will come. That's why in Matthew 28, Mark 16, we are encouraged with the mandate of the assignment to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We want to do that, not just to lead people to Christ, but so that Jesus will return for his church. So we want that to take place. That deception that I'm referring to brings us to our second point, and that is that there won't be just a great deception, but there will be a great departure or a great, what you would call a great defection. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 says this, "Don't be fooled by what they say, for the day will not come until there is a great rebellion against God and the man of lawlessness is revealed." That's what I was referring to earlier, the Antichrist. He will be revealed. He'll be the one who brings destruction. He will exalt himself and defy everything that people call God and every object of worship. He will even sit in the temple of God, claiming that he himself is God. And so here we have this revealing of what we call the Antichrist, or this imposter that is going to bring about world peace and world domination at the same time. So let me describe what this person will be like. They will be a very charismatic, very welcoming, all-inclusive type person that has the answer to everything. That's what they will be like. They will have a magnetic personality. They will be able to influence people and nations. They will be able to bring people together for one cause and for one assignment. And they will have a very flashy, probably, personality. They will be the type of person that has the answer to everybody's problems. They will be able to solve everybody's problems. I think that it'll be there'll be a hybrid of not just being gifted in financial and political things, but they will have the personality and the charisma to go with it. That's what they'll be like. We don't have any world leaders right now that fit those characteristics, not even close. The Antichrist will completely overshadow any type of world leader that you think even has a trace of Antichrist qualities. They will be somebody that is like you've never seen it before. And they will attract huge, large numbers of people who they influence and who they're able to sway according to their rule. So the way it'll work is that they'll make a pact with Israel. It'll be a seven-year agreement, and then halfway through the 7 years, 3.5 years, this person will be revealed of their true nature and their true character. Israel will wake up and see, hey, we've made a pact with, we have got in bed with the devil. We have submitted ourselves to a wicked world leader. And the way that this will all come about is this world leader will present himself as God, basically. He will present his image or himself in the temple as God. So we have a couple problems with that, first of all. First of all, we don't have a temple for him to appear in or to make himself God in. But that could happen very rapidly. There are steps right now from what we've heard is that the temple could be erected pretty quick. The problem that we have with the temple right now is there's a structure on the Temple Mount right now called the Dome of the Rock. So we have a problem with that. The problem is there's something already there, and it's a Muslim temple that's built on the Temple Mount. So I don't know how all that's going to transpire. I don't know if that will have to be torn down or if it will be used as kind of like a world site for Judaism and Islam and all of it together? I don't really know. But what we do know is that this person will proclaim that he's God, and he will set himself up as God. Now, this was prophesied in Daniel, the book of Daniel, and Daniel called it the abomination of desolation. So the abomination of desolation, historically, has actually already happened. The first time it happened was in 167 BC by a person named Antiochus of Epiphanes. And he set himself up as God and ruler in the temple with an image of Zeus. And there's a lot of background about that I won't get into, but the Jews revolted against it. And the reason they revolted against it was because of this unholy image in the temple. But the other thing was that they offered pig's flesh as sacrifice. And so that got the Jews to revolt. They revolted against him in a thing called the Maccabean Revolt, which was led by a person named Judas of Maccabees. That's why when Jesus' time came, there were a lot of people named Judas. They were named after this guy, Judas of Maccabees. His father was a priest named Matthias, and Matthias revolted against this pig's flesh. Subsequently, Judas died in the revolt. It's kind of a cool story. He got up under an elephant and stabbed it in the belly, and the elephant collapsed and killed him. That's how he died. But anyway, he was a national hero. And so, but what consummated this was this image of Zeus in the temple. It will revisit itself in the last days of the Antichrist appearing. It will be history's cyclical. It goes back. It circles round and round, and each time it gets more and greater and stronger each time. The next time the Antichrist appears, it won't be just a local deception. It'll be a worldwide deception. People will be led away by this person and their charisma and their ability. So it'll be a person of extraordinary gifts and talents and abilities. Matthew 24:4 says this, these are the words of Jesus, don't let anybody mislead you. So this is what Jesus said, and the word mislead is an interesting word. It means wander, go away, lead you astray, or get you off course. So Jesus warns us as believers, stay the course, don't get off track, do what you're supposed to do, because there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, famines, pestilences, people, there'll be nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines and earthquakes in various parts of the world. I saw a map the other day of earthquakes from the 1800s in the United States, and they speculate this, and then it's just now, all the earthquakes that have happened in the last few years just engulf how many earthquakes there were way before that. So this is all ratcheting up. It's ramping up. There's more wars in different places. There's famines like never before. There's diseases, names that I can't even pronounce, but things that they don't have cures for. But it's all signs of the end. It's all signs to prepare and show us that the end is upon us, okay? And so when you talk about defection or departure, it's where people get disenchanted with things and they decide to depart from the faith. And I think the word defection is a good word, because what comes to my mind is that when people defect to other countries. So when you defect to another country, you surrender your passport and your credentials, and you change your allegiance from that country to whatever country that you want to be a part of. And you know stories of people defecting to the Soviet Union and different places like that. But in order to do that, you have to surrender your citizenship of that country. That's what people will do in the last days. They will surrender their Christianity to follow a false god and a false religion. Okay? That's what these characteristics will be in the last days. It's somebody who changes sides, if you will. I want to talk about that for just a moment, just because I used this former Soviet Union as an example. But in 1995, I was able to go on one of my first missions trips, and I went to Romania. But to get to Romania, we had to go through Hungary, and to do that, we went to, we flew into Budapest, beautiful city. And when we got off the plane, we disembarked and was on the runway, and there were guys with machine guns, you know, greeting us there. And I was like, what have I gotten myself into? You know, I grew up here and was in Oklahoma at that time, and I went to another country. I'm like, where am I? What's happened? And what I discovered very, very rapidly was the effect that communism had on people. What it did to people, how it took away hope from people, how it destroyed people, how it destroyed their future, how it promised great things but never delivered anything. And I want to tell you something. There is a wave of, I don't know how big it is. The media would like us to think that it's a huge wave, but there is a wave, there is a vibe of socialism right now in our country. And I want to tell you something. No good comes out of that. I want to tell you something. That ideology is from the pit of hell. It is demonic, and no good comes out of it. I have seen firsthand what it does to people and their morale and what it creates in people. It sucks the life out of them. I stood in Ceausescu's palace, that thing was built on the slavery and the lives of people who died to build it because somebody's whim, somebody wanted to do that, and what it cost the people. So don't tell me that that's any good or that there's any good that comes out of it, because there's not. I want to tell you something. If you think that's so great, go over to North Korea for a few weeks and see how that works out for you. You think it's so great? Go over there. Go over to Cuba and see how those folks are getting along. See if you can buy a loaf of bread. See if you can get something that you want to buy. And where it comes from, it comes from a spoiled generation that doesn't know any better, who have lived charmed lives. That's where it comes from. And they have this thought that this is so great over here because this is so terrible here. This is the best place on earth to live, my friends. It is. This is the best place to live on earth right now. So I want you to remember that when this stuff is being portrayed as some great, great answer to everybody's problems and everybody's difficulties, all right? So the third one is this: there'll be a great difficulty. A great difficulty. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says this: "You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be difficult times." And the word difficult is a word that means this: perilous, terrible, dangerous, hard, grievous, difficult to deal with or harsh, and even injurious, fierce, savage, things that take away your strength. Here's my favorite one: annoying. Things that are annoying, that take away your strength. And so that's something that's indicative of the last days, is that things will be perilous and harsh and savage. They'll be stressful. Things that really are difficult to deal with. And more than ever before, we're living in those days. You guys, people are stressed out, aren't they? People are worried, they're upset. They are beside themselves, they're anxious, they're fearful. There's all kinds of things that are going on right now in people's lives. And some of the characteristics will be such as follows. Verse 2, people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to parents, ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and they will love pleasure rather than God. So those are the characteristics of what this great difficulty will result in. It'll result in those sort of characteristics or those sort of behaviors. Did you ever wonder how that happens? Like how do people succumb to this? Like how does it take place? Well, it happens a little bit at a time. It doesn't happen all at once. It happens just a little bit at a time. Another thing that happens when you're under a lot of stress and difficulty, or maybe you're in the church, or you get offended, or you get your feelings hurt, or you begin to be unforgiving and resentful and bitter about life, it can cause you to draw away from the truth. many times, you guys, we don't need an antichrist to draw us away. We have our own struggles within. And if we don't keep check on our souls, I love that song that Deb led us in. It said, "Oh, my soul." You know what? You need to sing to yourself sometimes. You need to sing to yourself. Of course, sing to the Lord. But keep your soul in check. Keep your life where it needs to be. Don't let things run amok in your life. Don't be running over here and running over there. Keep yourself on the straight and narrow. Keep yourself tied and tethered to the Lord and to the Word of God. Because I'm telling you guys, there are all kinds of distractions these days. All kinds of craziness that's out there. All kinds of things to get you off track. Listen, you stay where you need to be. You have to police your own soul. Nobody is going to do that for you. No one's going to come and check up on you and see how you're reading the Word or how much you've been praying or how much you've been engaging in community spiritual life. No one's going to do it. You got to do it. You got to make sure that you're where you need to be. And I think sometimes we are so concerned about the end times that we forget about our own souls. You know, many times we're looking for the signs in the sky and the clouds, and we're looking for monumental events and things to take place. Listen, you know what? If you keep your soul where it needs to be, all the events can happen as they may, and you won't have to worry about a thing because you're where you need to be. How do I know that? Listen to what the Word says. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. "So that no one can criticize you, live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people." There it is. What's it say? Keep your heart in check. Keep yourself where you need to be. Okay? Police yourself. If you think you're getting off track and doing things you shouldn't be doing, then get yourself back where you need to be. If you start compromising in certain areas and start believing things that aren't true and start looking for other things, keep yourself in check. Make sure you're where you need to be. Dig into the Word of God like never before. Come after the Lord. Listen to what James says, chapter 4, verse 8. "Come close to God and He'll come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world." Don't have a divided attitude. Serve the Lord. Put Him first. And make sure that your heart's right. Make sure your hands are clean. Make sure your hearts are pure before Him. Come close to Him. If you get as close as you can to Jesus in these last days, you don't have to worry about all the signs of the times and all the fear that's around you and what's going to happen. You get as close to Jesus as you can, and everything will work out better than you could ever expect. All right? So here's how we're going to close this down today. Here's how we're going to respond. I really sensed during praise and worship that some of you here are really afraid of what's going on. You're really worried. You're really upset by what you've seen around you, all the events that are happening. You guys, there's not a week that goes by that something crazy doesn't happen in our country, in our world. It's becoming so commonplace that we're just numb to it. You know? And sometimes they are not just, regional catastrophes, but sometimes it's, a wider reached trauma or problem that happens in our world. Weather patterns, people with guns. I mean, where do you end? Where do you start and where do you end? I don't know. Here's what I do know. I know Jesus. And you get as close to Him as you can and let all these things happen. They come, they may or they may not. You can be secure. You can be assured that everything is going to be okay for you and for those that you love when you put Him first. How many of you would say, Blaine, I need to do that more than ever before. I need to not be afraid of all these things that are transpiring around me, worried, fearful. Some of you are really in a tight spot financially, and it's consumed you. You're worried about, am I going to have a job? Am I going to have enough money? Others of you, is there going to be Social Security? Am I going to have enough to retire, you know? There are some of you that are starting businesses. You're wondering, how am I going to make it? What am I going to do? Some of you are facing health crisis. You know, you're like, what if I don't live, you know, till next year to see my grandkids graduate or whatever it is that you're believing for? And all those things are very, very real. They are. And it can really, really cause you to be anxious and fearful. You know, you may not even know it. You wake up in the middle of the night and you're like, why am I worried? Why am I anxious? It's because all this stuff comes down on us subconsciously. You may not even recognize it, but you'll wake up in the middle of the night and you wonder, why can't I go to sleep? Why am I always upset or worried about stuff? So here's what I want us to do. We have a group of prayer team here. We have elders and council members and designated prayer people that will pray for you. I want us to do that. I want us to trust the Lord that he's going to help us. Here's the other thing. You may not be ready. And after this message, you're like, you know what? I got to get my life where it needs to be. I got to get things straightened out because I'm not where I need to be. This is a good time to let one of these, one in the prayer team to pray for you. Okay, so if you guys would come up so that we can expedite that and make that happen. Maybe you're just worried about the future. Like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my family? If you're like me, you think, well, I can handle it, but what about my kids? What about my grandkids? What about them? They've never gone through some of the stuff we've gone through. So as we sing the song, let's stand together. And if you want one of these to pray for you, let's go ahead and do that. Father, as we sing, as we reflect on what we've heard today, help us to understand and know what your will is. And if we're afraid or worried about the future or being deceived or being tricked, Lord, I pray that as we pray to get together today, that we would know and understand that we're secure in you, that we don't need to be afraid, but we can look with confidence of what's ahead and what's in the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.